You mentioned M. B. Tolson, Melvin B. Tolson, was considered the campus radical. He was a professor of English, coach of debate, and director of drama. Actually, in his classes, he taught everything, as many great professors did and still do. He challenged the students to think. I can never forget what he said to me once midway through the first semester of my freshman year. Tolson asked me to stay after class once, and I did, and he says, "Farmer, you're doing good work. In fact, you're doing A work. But if you don't do better, I'm gonna flunk you." Well, this shocked me, of course, knocked me back on my heels, and he said, "You see, you're not using your mind. You are not digging, you're not studying. You have found that you can get by without studying. But you're not going to do it in my class. And unless you start reading, then you will not pass my course. And you're going to read not only the books that I tell you to read, you're going to read other things too. You're going to read Darwin, you're going to read Freud, you're going to read Marx, you're going to read other great thinkers. And you're going to argue with them. And you and I are going to debate what they say." I remember, and I tell in the book, how he yelled across campus once, "Farmer, what are you reading these days?" And I hollered back, "Tolstoy, War and Peace." And Tolson said, "Good, I'm glad that at least you are drinking the broth of knowledge. Why don't you eat the meat?" Well, this was Tolson, and Tolson was a poet who was unpublished at the time. He would read his poetry as he was writing it then to some of the students, especially his debaters, as they came over to his house. And looking back on it now, it was a great experience because we had the opportunity to say, "No, not that word, another word." And he'd say, "Ah, that's very good." And he'd go to his typewriter and cross out, X out one word and add another that one of us had suggested. It was just two or three years later that his first poems were published, and Tolson became recognized after 1940 as one of the major black American poets. And his works will appear in any anthology of American Negro or American black literature published after 1940. He taught us a great deal. In college, there was Tolson, who made me see the absurdity of my talking against segregation and allowing myself to be segregated. Now, the incident, which I'm sure I mentioned in the book, it was three years ago, when I was writing that part, and I don't remember whether I mentioned it. I think I did. But we had our bull sessions almost every night in the men's dormitory. They call them rep sessions now, I think. And one night in the dormitory, we were talking about the evils of racial segregation, and I held forth about 15 minutes telling how horrible this institution was and how we had to get rid of it and so forth, and others spoke too. And we got no argument from anybody. We all agreed, and we just outdid each other in our rhetoric. And when I went home, I felt good. We had killed segregation, and we'd reduced it to ashes, and we had dug its grave and buried it and covered it up and written its epitaph and planted the tombstone over it. That must have been a Thursday, and then Monday afternoon I was over at Tolson's house, and I was telling them about that great bull session and how we had literally destroyed segregation with our words. I thought he'd be impressed. And he listened, a slight smile on his face. He combined a smile with a frown, and he had both. And when I finished, he says, "I see." He says, "Farmer, I hear there's a good movie downtown at the Paramount Theater." I said, "Yes, I saw it. I saw it Saturday." He said, "You saw it?" "Yes." He said, "Did you like it?" I said, "Yes, I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a fine film." He said, "I see. And where did you sit?" I said, "I sat in the balcony, where we always sit." He said, "Now let me get this straight. Thursday night, you reduced segregation to ashes, wrote its epitaph. Then Saturday, under the pitiless glare of the sun, you walked downtown to the Paramount Theater, walked round to the side entrance, climbed the back stairs, sat up in the buzzard's roost, ate your popcorn, watched the movie, and you enjoyed it." He said, "You not only allowed yourself to be segregated, but you paid your father's hard-earned money for the privilege of being segregated. You supported the system of segregation, which Thursday you had vowed to destroy." I got the message. So he referred me to Thoreau's, Henry David Thoreau's essay on civil disobedience. Reached up on a shelf, got a copy, tossed it over his shoulder to me. And I caught it midair, and the ribbon, the divided pages, determined where the leaves fell. And I read where, in that essay on civil disobedience, Thoreau said, "Most of all, I must see to it that I do not lend myself to the evil which I condemn." I read that over and over and over again. Tolson said, "Let me hear you read it again, Farmer." I read it, and I got up to go home. He said, "Take it with you if you want to." I said, "No, Dad has one, has a copy too." And I walked home, and I just could not get that out of my mind, and I